Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
All right, restaurant workers, rut or recovery, call us up, 212-433-WNYC. If you work in a restaurant or own a restaurant in these holiday weeks, as we take stock of where the economy is right now, rut or recovery in the New York area restaurant business, 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. As we continue to look at different industries in our area one by one and how they're faring in the current patchwork economy, rut or recovery. A couple of weeks ago, we looked at the advertising industry. There are 24,000 restaurants in New York City, according to the Department of Health, and the city has its own set of challenges these days besides the recovering economy. This year, a new health grading system was introduced, as well as a crackdown on undocumented workers. And then, of course, there are the trends and openings and closings that make the New York City restaurant world so dynamic. 24,000 restaurants in New York City alone, thousands more in the rest of our area. Alan Sitzma is with us to give us a snapshot of the restaurant industry as your calls are coming in. He's the senior editor of Grub Street, New York Magazine's restaurant blog. Hey, Alan.
How are you?
Good. And again, listeners, if you work anything from a dishwasher to a top chef to a mogul who owns a chain of 15 places, 212-433-WNYC, rut or recovery this holiday season, 212-433-9692. Can we say, in general, rut or recovery in this industry?
You know, it's a gray area. I think we're rut into recovery. I think you're seeing a lot of kind of ambitious, fun openings that are indicative of people being willing to take chances and maybe move beyond the sure thing when they open restaurants.
So is there a new normal, if you will, on what kinds of restaurants are opening?
Well, casual. I mean, people want to go in. They want to have food that's kind of delicious, rich, heavy, but they don't want necessarily the trappings of fine dining all the time, even if they're kind of spending prices that traditionally used to be fine dining.
Delicious, rich, heavy.
Yeah, I think so. You know, there's a reason
why Mayor Bloomberg won't like that.
There's a reason why. Well, but April Bloomfield is at the top of the chef food chain right now for a reason, and it's because her food is comforting. You know, it's the kind of thing that people look for, but also really, really, really tasty.
In tough times, people turn to their comfort
foods.
That's
kind of the cliche, yeah, definitely. And we've definitely been seeing that for the last 2 years with, you know, so many burger places opening, pizza places opening. You know, you're seeing a lot of pasta joints at the higher end. And now I think that's why it starts to seem like a recovery, is because now the new openings that we're sort of following on Grub Street especially are sometimes moving away from that and into kind of more, I don't want to say avant-garde necessarily, but less comfortable, more kind of, you know, food for thought is what these restaurants are doing kind of at every level. So that's really exciting to us, and to cover things. You're getting these chefs' points of views, and you're seeing a lot of, you know, kind of things that you haven't seen before, as opposed mm-hmm. to just another one-word kind of vaguely Italianate pasta place opening in a hotel lobby, which is what you've been seeing for the last, you know, couple of years, I think.
With lots of sun-dried tomatoes. Matthew right. in Milburn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Matthew.
Hi, how you doing?
Good. You work in restaurant biz?
Yes, I do. I run a Five Guys.
Oh, right.
Super, super popular in Milburn,
real
Five
popular.
Guys, right?
I was about to say, your assistant asked me if I was in the red or recovery, and I was like, definitely recovery. I mean, I just opened up another store in a nice area of Milburn, and I'm opening up five more.
But this is also comfort food. Five Guys is a burger chain, right?
Yes, it is. Yep.
It is one of those things, though, where, you know, what you guys are doing, you talk about things that people are looking for now, ingredient pedigree kind of. You talk about the fresh potatoes and your beef is never frozen, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
So it's kind of middle ground in that sense.
I think it is. I think it's people kind of, you know, whereas if they would have gone to a slightly kind of more expensive place before, now they can kind of come down to Five Guys and feel good about that.
Without going to Burger King.
Exactly.
Jason in Dumbo, you're on WNYC. Hey, Jason, thanks for calling.
Hey, Brian, how you doing?
Good. What do you do?
I'm the owner of Rebar in Dumbo in Brooklyn. And, you know, I started to open the restaurant and bar, I think it was a gastropub, 4 years ago. And when the economy tanked in September 2008, you know, I really used the Chevy and Ford example from the Great Depression, which was, you know, I think Chevy entered the Depression with 10% of the market share versus Ford. And instead of, you know, stopping innovation and raising prices during the Depression, Chevy decided they were going to continue to advertise, continue to innovate, and keep the prices firm. And they emerged from the Depression 50-50. And I sort of took the approach that if people used to have $2 and they spent $1 at my place and $1 somewhere else, and now they only had $1, I had to give them a good reason to come to my place. So I kept my prices flat, or I flashed them. I introduced an $8 lunch that included tax and tip, and upped the customer service as much as I could. And we've been able to grow 40% each year, both in 2009 and 2010, by taking care of our customers and realizing that, you know, the money's tight, and so you better get more than you expect for every dollar you spend.
I'll give you a plug. I've been to Rebar, very comfortable place to hang out.
Oh, thanks, brother. Well, we do actually a lot of weddings, and I'm not going to lie, that's a help to the supplement the income, too. You know, a big space, we're able to find that, you know, on Sundays, which are going to be very quiet in the restaurant industry, you know, if I can do a $15,000 wedding versus doing, you know, $1,500 brunch, that helps, you know, bring in revenue as well.
All right. Thank you for your call. We appreciate it. Let's go to Richard on the Upper East Side. Richard, you're on WNYC.
Yeah, hi. I have a different perspective from the accounting viewpoint. In the past couple of years, I've had four clients go out of business. Ironically, three of them were a combination of slowdown in business, but also landlords who just didn't seem to understand what was going on and were looking for significant rent increases. And the only businesses I found now that I have that are successful are smaller places with hands-on ownership, either chefs or manager owners who are there present all the time. Otherwise, they're not doing well.
Alan from Grub Street.
Yeah, and people who have a very good understanding of New York real estate laws, right? I mean, you're seeing that across the board, too. A lot of institutions that we've been following are closing from at every level. I mean, places that, kind of, you know, Mars Bar, things that you thought would never close are just kind of getting shut down because landlords are doing exactly what you were saying, kind of jacking up the rent to levels that, you know, these businesses just can't sustain, and so they're forced to close or move or anything, and it kind of happens across the board in New York, especially.
It is incredible how commercial real estate seems to go up and up and up in terms of the rents.
Yeah.
Can I ask a question here? Can I interrupt?
Go.
I'm wondering, because a lot of these places, the places just lay fallow. They stay empty. I remember Zen Palette on 16th and Park. It was almost 2 years. How do the landlords, you know, what is their logic in just letting a place close down and not renting it?
I mean, you have to think that they, you know, it's kind of maybe a grass is always greener situation. They think they're going to be able to get the next big tenant, but then, you know, it's just not out there right now. And hopefully that's going to start, you know, that kind of phenomenon is going to start ending soon, and people are going to be able to start affording leases, and landlords are going to kind of come to their senses and realize that maybe they can't get top dollar for every piece of real estate that
Richard,
they own.
Richard, thanks for your call and your insight. Are there any trends, Alan, in the types of people going into the restaurant business, starting new restaurants, or going to culinary school in this economy?
Culinary school especially. What's interesting is as you've watched kind of the economy tank, you've been able to head down to Broadway and Grand and watch the FCI grow and blossom and boom. And I was talking to one of the chefs there recently who said that, you know, everybody who's been unemployed and laid off has decided that now is the
time.
That's
the French Culinary Institute.
French Culinary Institute, sorry, yes, the culinary school. And they've been saying that they're going to, you know, follow their dream, pursue what they wanted to always do, which is become a chef, open a restaurant. And so whether that's a realistic goal or not, I think people, you know, they'll go to school and they're learning to cook. And so culinary school is certainly training more and more people every day than they ever have in the past. And, it speaks well for the future when those people graduate.
They may have to move all over America to open all those French restaurants.
Well, they're already opening those culinary schools all over America. I think they just announced one in California.
Really?
There's going to be one in Paris soon.
By the way, all of that federal crackdown on undocumented workers in business in general, have you noticed any impact in New York restaurants?
I haven't. I mean, it's always been one of those situations where people know that undocumented workers are kind of the lifeblood of the industry, and they're not supposed to be. And so it's always been, you know, I say one thing, I kind of wink when I'm saying it, and we kind of progress as we need to help our restaurants survive.
All right. Alan Sitzma writes the he's the senior editor of Grub Street. That's New York Magazine's restaurant blog. Thanks for coming on and talking about the ruts and recoveries.
Absolutely.
In
thanks
the restaurant
for having me.
Biz. What are you blogging on this week? What's your last
post? What are
we
blogging on this? I don't know what the next post is. The last post was about, we just learned you can get into the Chick-fil-A at NYU without a student ID card. So we
tell
were very excited
the
about
world.
That. I know.
We can all go to Chick-fil-A. Oh, joy.
In New York City.
Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having
Brian
me.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC.